Lord Jesus, I hope and I pray and I ask that you will help us to understand your ways, that you will show us your heart and that you will guide us into eternity with you. I really pray that we will have a fresh revelation of you as our King and that you are coming, and that in this waiting period until you come, we know that you've given us a helper, you've given us a guide, but you've also given us yourself, and that we can walk intimately with you. And I pray that we'll experience you in a beautiful way, knowing that you love and that we're in a position where we can love. Help us to understand your heart this morning. Help us to see you. I really pray that your word will be fresh to us, that it will be real. Yeah, Lord Jesus, help us to really understand your kingdom ways. And where so often the patterns of this world influences and builds a framework for us to live and to see, I pray that somewhere, somehow, this framework will be shaked so that we could see you in your way. I really pray that we'll be able to live for your glory. Help us in that. We need your help. I pray it in your name. Amen. Amen. Ek het hier gesit, I was sitting here this morning thinking, it was about eight or nine years ago, I was part of an organization that focused on training and education with a focus of a Christ-centered heart. So whether it was teaching, whether it was tourism, but in this organization they had a couple of small businesses to kind of support. So some of them were guest houses, others were a biltong shop, and there was two biltong shops in Somerset West and Strand. And they asked me, listen, Brett, we just need some help. Do you not want to work at the shop for some time? Obviously, working in a biltong shop wasn't a highlight or wasn't any romantic idea for me personally. But willing, I said, no problem, it's 100%, and I'll work there in the biltong shop, geen probleem. And there in the biltong shop, I've always had this desire to be able to share, to be able to speak or to share or... and especially after meeting the King, yes, this massive passion and seeing who he is and this good news that he's presented, and I've just somehow always wanted to share. And there in the biltong shop, I was reminded that even there I was sharing to the biltong. I was speaking this message, whatever was on my heart, to this doye biltong apirak. And so what I'm trying to say is thank you that I don't have to share anymore to a bunch of dead biltong. And I hope so anyway. So the biltong was obviously just waiting for the next hungry lion to come in and devour. And thank you that you guys are not just dried out, dead biltong. So with that in mind, please, if there's anything that you want to share or ask in between, I think it's cozy enough to do that. Yeah, normally it's much more people. But if you say, yes, Emma, what about this? Or how's that look? We need to stick biltong, obvious, and uitgedroog. You were what I say. So we're going to be talking and looking at kingdom. Now, this word, we see it throughout the Bible constantly, kingdom. We hear it, we sing about it, we hear about the King. Listen, whoever chose that song to be there at the end, it's not a coincidence. You will see why. And we're going to quickly look at kingdom, because we use this word, and I just hope that we've got a true framework of what it truly is. And all of us, myself included, we are given a set of framework, like a structure, and it's as a result of our upbringing, where we are, our country, our nation, what we believe. There's this framework that we've been given. And I really hope that somewhere, somehow, our framework hasn't been distorted when we look at kingdom and how we live in kingdom. And so what we want to do this morning is just kind of create a platform to move from. And maybe it's not new, I don't think it will be new, but maybe for me anyways, it was this beautiful fresh reminder of true kingdom. And then also a beautiful fresh reminder of how I have been conformed to the patterns of this world, the way that I see, the way that I live. And it's quite understandable because my framework of kind of an empire or a kingdom or a government is what I'm seeing all the time. And so we're going to be looking at kingdom. We're going to be looking at what it isn't. and possibly how we've been influenced or how I've been influenced, and then maybe just a glimpse of what it truly is, so that from there we might be able to just see it in its true form, and hopefully that will help us to live it consistently. So I like these warrior movies like Troy. What's another one? 300 is a bit hectic. My Gladiator, Braveheart, these kind of movies where back in the day you've got this kind of empire or this kingdom, and you kind of get a glimpse of what kingdom is. Now, we don't see that here. We see it throughout the word, but I kind of like those movies. It's not so much about the bloodshed, and it's probably about this warrior. I don't know what it is, but I like it. And throughout history, from the beginning up till now, if you look at the definition of a kingdom, it consists of two things, of a sovereign, or in other words, a king, a someone that's in charge, a sovereign, and then its subjects, or in other words, maybe a citizen, the people that is living within this empire. So by definition, it's always got two parts, and you see that in those movies. There's this king, and he's going, doing what he's doing, winning battles, or whatever the case may be, and then there's the people. So a kingdom consists of two parts, sovereign, or a king, and citizens, or in other words, subjects, they sometimes called it. And I want to give you just this quick definition of a kingdom, and it's not my own words. It's a place where people are ruled by one man. This person's will or desire becomes the law of that kingdom. He has no government to debate his will. He simply declares it. He has the job of reigning and ruling. By inheritance, he is a king. He was not elected. He has no cabinet or no opposition within his kingdom. He is not voted in, and he cannot be voted out. That, in essence, is the definition of a kingdom. Now, we don't have much framework of that kind of stuff. We've got governments, we've got politics, we've got all these systems, but we don't really see anything in today's age of a true kingdom. I know that there's a place called United Kingdom, UK. It's very far from united, and it's also not a kingdom. Although there's a royal family, there's a queen, but the main thing of a kingdom when one person is ruling and reigning, and that's what we see throughout the word, ruling and reigning. So the queen is there, it's a kingdom, she's a royal family, she's definitely reigning because she's there, and everyone sees her and everyone knows her, everyone acknowledges her, but she's definitely not ruling. There's a prime minister, there's a cabinet, there's a bunch of other people that is making all the laws, thinking out ideas, but she's there and she's reigning as a queen, but she's not ruling. And in a true kingdom, you've got a king that is always reigning, and you've always got a king that is ruling. Yes, there's advisors, there's people that's giving advice, but at the end of the day, he's ruling and he's reigning, and he's setting up his kingdom according to his will and his desire. Okay, so I don't think there's not that I know of anyways. If you know of a kingdom in today's age that is functioning like a kingdom like that, please let me know. I'd love to go read about it. But when we see this kingdom, I wonder sometimes if we are, well, this is, let me put it like this from my own experience and what I'm experiencing in my life at the moment is that as a result of my upbringing, my nation, the government, and the way that framework works, I'm living accordingly in the in the kingdom of God. And let me just give you an idea of what I mean. So in a government system, you've got a leader, and you've got a cabinet, and you've got people debating leadership all the time. He's got an idea. No, we've got a better idea. No, but what about this? No, I don't think he's... And you've got this kind of system where leadership is always debatable. You've always got other people kind of telling you what they think, how they think, and what they want. And at the end of the day, it's just like, okay, but what are we doing here? It's kind of like a circus in a system like a government. And just take, for example, before elections, what is the things that we are constantly hearing? What I'm hearing and what I'm seeing before elections and after is how the people are saying what the government needs to do for the people. And quite understandably, I understand that. So it's less inflation, they don't want to see corruption, job creation, and they present all these campaigns and all these things according to what the people are saying they need. The government is now responding, okay, they need that, let's try do this, and he's saying that, let's do that, and obviously the people have got all these desires of how to be served. Definitely lower petrol prices, electricity that needs to be sorted out, and this is kind of the norm that you are hearing before an election. We're choosing him because he can give more job creation. We're choosing him because maybe they can do this for us. And at the end of the day, that's kind of how it works. That's the framework of a government. That's the framework of these kind of this politics. And I haven't heard too many discussions before where the citizens, the people, are coming together and saying, okay, what can we do to serve the government? What can we do to make it easier and better so that the government can work and function as the way that it should? And it just doesn't work like that because most of the time, unfortunately, in this world today, it's a bit of a circus. And I understand it. It's real. Leadership can constantly be debated. If we do not like something that we get, then we choose differently. Or if we cannot really choose differently, I try to create a pocket for myself or the safe little place so that I, as far as possible, I do not have to be affected by outside circumstances. And I wonder if somehow this is constantly creeping in when we think of kingdom without even knowing it. Saudi Arabia, I don't know when it was, but there's a book that's out called The Kingdom. And it was as a result of Saudi Arabia operating in such a way where they are truly operating like a true kingdom, according to definition. Now, unfortunately, they are worshipping a misled religion. But in terms of framework of kingdom, they've got it down. They understand it. And the king at that time, ruling and reigning, I can't remember his name, he was a bad king, not an ideal king. And his brothers and his family and the royal family came to him and said, listen, I think we need to get other people in to make all the decisions. You can still be king, you can still reign, but let's get other people in to try and help because you're obviously not doing a good job. But they didn't say it like that. And he turned around and he said, are you ridiculous? You're crazy. Because from the beginning of a history, a king that does not rule and reign, it was a ridiculous idea. And he knew this. And although it's a misled kingdom, but it is with regards to framework, it is true kingdom. And what I want to do now, we don't want to look at how bad the government is and what we are doing in the midst of a bad. It's not what I'm saying here. What I'm trying to bring out is what is our framework of a functioning kingdom or a functioning city or a functioning kind of place that we have now, we are a part of it. Because years ago when I made the decision to follow Christ, I stepped into a new kingdom. And in this kingdom, there was a different king. But I stepped in with a framework, possibly, that has been influenced by the patterns of this world. Just subtly and naturally, just kind of thinking, this is how it is because it's part of my framework. And I wonder if I'm living at times accordingly as a result of my framework that I've been given or that has been made for me. So if you had to ask me, if there's a couple of kingdoms before me and you had to ask me, do you want to stay in one of those kingdoms? My answer to you would be, it all depends on the king. Depends on the king and what he's doing, what he's not doing, how he's functioning in his city or his kingdom or his empire. I would have a look at it, I would read, check it out, and I would make a decision according to the king. Now, throughout history, we've seen that there has been good kings and we've seen that there has been bad kings. And you see it in the book of all the judges, and you see it all over from beginning to end, and we see it in our age today also. Good kings were always concerned for their kingdom, their city, and the people within the city. It's quite straightforward. If you look at history, all the good kings that led, their main concern was the city, or their kingdom, and the people within their kingdom. And every bad king that they've been, their main concern is obviously themselves. My fame, my power, my territory, my self-pleasures. And it's just clear. It's there in the Bible. We see it with individuals. And it's just a straightforward thing that we, if we look at history, we can identify good king, bad king, simply as a result of these two reasons. And good kings, if you look at history, have always put a lighter burden on their people. There has been responsibilities. He has given commands. There is ways. There's things that they need to do. There's things that they know they don't need to do. But that burden on the people, the citizens, the subjects, have been much lighter. Why? Because his concern and his desire, part of his will, is the king, the kingdom, and the people. Where bad kings have put an extremely heavy burden on the people to kind of support his kinging, his way, what he wants. And I just want to quickly show you this in 1 Samuel. And we're going to get to the point now. I just want to create a little bit of a platform and a framework so that we are making sure that we are seeing in a healthy way. But in 1 Samuel, it's when the people, they were not too chuffed, and Samuel was coming to a place where he was getting really old, and Samuel appointed his sons to kind of be the judges over those people during that time, and they were not good people, they were not good judges. And people came to Samuel and said, "Listen, Samuel, we need a king. We need a king so that we can go into battle, so that we can..." And Samuel said this. When Samuel grew old, he appointed... So it's from 1 Samuel 8. 1 Samuel 8 from verse 1. When Samuel grew old, he appointed his sons as judges for Israel. The name of his firstborn was Joel, and the name of his second was Abijah. And they served at Beersheba, but his sons did not walk in the ways they turned. Sorry, they did not walk in his ways. They turned aside after dishonest gain and accepted bribes and perverted justice. So all the elders of Israel gathered together and came to Samuel at Ramah. They said to him, "You are old, your sons do not walk in your ways. Now appoint a king to lead us, such as all the other nations have." But when they said, "Give us a king to lead us," this displeased Samuel. So he prayed to the Lord, and the Lord told him, "Listen to all the people who are saying to you, 'It is not you they have rejected, but they have rejected me as their king.' They have done from the day I've brought them up out of Egypt until this day, forsaking me and serving other gods. So they are doing to you as they are doing to you. Now listen to them, but warn them solemnly, and let them know what the king who will reign over them will do." Samuel told all the words the Lord told the people. And it goes on there of how this new king, a different king, is going to reign and rule over them. And it talks of heavy stuff. It's not a light burden. And we see that throughout history. Bad kings is always laying a heavy burden on the people. And good kings, yes, there's a burden, there's responsibility, but it's lighter. And you see that throughout history. When God introduced himself to people, he introduced himself as a king. And you see it in the first and the second book of Genesis. He was on his throne, and he gave a bunch of commands and instructions, and it was immediately and instantaneously obeyed. Let there be light. There was light. Let there be this. There was that. And if you want to see a true kingdom that is fully reigning and ruling, and life that is fully subject to a king, look at the first two books of Genesis. You see it very clearly. You see this king that, as I said, it's just whatever he said or thought or did, it was obeyed instantaneously, always. Now, have you ever wondered why, and I don't know if, if you go into nature and you look at these majestic waterfalls, snow in the mountains, glaciers, river streams, sea views, crashing waves, something about nature is beautiful, and I think the whole world knows it. So you plan your holidays around it. You want the best sea view or the beautiful mountain cabin, or you dream about being along the stream, and or when you're seeing an incredible thunderstorm, there's something about it that you are in awe. And people plan their everything, most people anyways, that like nature, and I think most people have some sort of inclination towards it. They plan their holidays around it. They plan everything around it. They desire. Have you ever wondered why? I've wondered, yeah, what? Obviously, it is beautiful. But something hit me the other day where I realized what I'm seeing out in nature is life still subject to a king, where the king is fully reigning and fully ruling. And we see that still in nature today. And there's something in it that's like, wow, it's good. It's beautiful. And then you turn on the news or open the newspaper and you're just seeing a mess. And it's ugly and it's horrible. And throughout the word, you see how God is controlling nature. He said, let there be rain because this, and let the flies come and the gnats and the frogs. And he commanded nature all the time, and they responded instantaneously and immediately. And there is something in that's like, whoa. And people know that, whether you're an atheist or whether you're a Christian or a this. You know, you've got people, go look on social media, you've got people waiting, and we are standing on this planet Earth and it's moving slowly, and all of a sudden this big red ball of beautiful fire comes up and everyone's taking photos and everyone's looking at the sunset and saying, wow. And they're sharing on Instagram and social media, soul food, they call it. This is soul food. Nature is soul food. I'm going to plan my next holiday around this so that I can be fed in my soul. And it's the only reason, because we are seeing a king still being king, ruling and reigning, where life is still subject to a king. But I'm still debating. I know that God is reigning, but is he ruling? I'm not so sure. So you've kind of got like a Queen Elizabeth situation in United Kingdom. She's this royal queen, and it's everyone knows and likes and adores her. But when last do you think the citizens of United Kingdom walked around and made a decision, and while they made a decision thinking, I wonder what the Queen is going to think about this? Well, I'm going to make this decision because I think it's the Queen's desire. You think so? I don't think so. So you've got an incredible, beautiful Queen that is reigning, but I wonder if she is ruling. And in this world, we've got this incredible God who in his kingdom, the kingdom of God, is reigning and ruling. And then we've been invited in. Come. And we step into his kingdom, but we step in possibly with a framework of, if I don't like it, I'm not sure. I'm going to try to figure it out. And if I don't understand, or if the circumstances is pressing, you know, I'm going to try and set up my little paradise, my little safe haven within this, because I don't really understand it, and if it doesn't go my way, then... And we see that with the Israelites through the desert. Now, we read it from a bigger picture because we know that there's a promised land. We know how it looks. We know the end to the story. But they were in a situation where they knew God was sovereign. He was reigning. There was a cloud of fire over them. There was this cloud during the day, and everywhere they went, they saw him. And things got tough, circumstances pressed, and in the midst of that, they didn't get what they want, how they wanted. Oh, let's make a golden calf. Maybe he can give us what we want in the midst of God reigning, in the midst of this relationship that I have with him, but possibly not getting what I want, how I want, when I want. So according to my framework, I'm just gonna try and do it my way, in you know, because it doesn't really make sense, or I don't fully understand, or I can't really see the bigger picture. And naturally, as a result of sinful nature, we set up a pocket, a safe haven, or what a lot of people would say, start building my own kingdom. I remember when I first met the Lord, this idea of laying down my life that we talk about, this idea of serving Him, of doing everything for His glory, was a really real thing for me. I remember it so clearly. It was this deep, burning, passionate desire, and I was also immature in trying to share that, but all that I wanted to really do was share that because it was so real for me, because somehow I just came face to face with this King. You know, if you look at the Bible, He introduced us as a king, and much, much later in the Word, he shared His heart as a father, as a provider, as a healer. But many, and I at most times, would probably choose the other titles, the healer, the provider, the what He can give me, how He can serve me, how I can get from Him, rather than me being in a position how, as an individual or as a family, how can I, what can I do to serve kingdom? But often, I wonder if we step into this kingdom with this old framework of how the government should give me better rates, lower electricity, and we come in with this desire of, yeah, but this King's got to serve me. This kingdom has got to serve me better, and how I want it, and when I want it, and if I don't get it, then I don't understand, but I still see God, and I still acknowledge Him, because He is reigning, and I've experienced Him, and I still do, in the midst of my mindset that sometimes is sometimes wrong. And this has been the case for me personally over the last 2 or 3 months. And I share this personally because I don't know how else to share it, but me and my family have gone through a little bit of a difficult time, experiencing a heavy burden. And it's nothing that is, you know, family members haven't died, we're still kind of in a good place, but there's been something over the last few months that has just been causing havoc in our family. And it's kind of it's been difficult. Me and my wife, we've been struggling through this, and we're not really sure, and we don't understand fully. And last week, Wednesday or whatever it was, last week, I was reminded, or I saw, it was a fresh reminder for me anyways, that I am functioning within this new kingdom, acknowledging my God as sovereign, as good, but He's not ruling. I've become a king within my setup, and I've been laying, and in all my goodness and trying and wanting and being a better person, there's absolutely no way that I can be a good king. I fall under one of the categories of bad king that lays a heavy burden. And I've been experiencing that burden, and so has my family. And I've been struggling and asking the Lord, Lord, I don't get it. I don't understand what's going on. What is it? Is there something that we need to do? Is there something that we don't need to do? What is the situation here? And what I was reminded of is, Brett, I am the king. I want to rule and reign. You've been seeing me as reigning, but you've taken the position of ruling. And so when something comes up, you look at the pros and cons, how it can suit you, how it can work better for you, in your little pocket, forgetting about the larger picture of kingdom that me, whether it's in my business, whether I'm a teacher, a bookkeeper, a coffee shop, whatever it is, how does that, what I'm doing, fit into that kingdom? And I've lost sight of that. I've lost sight of how me as an individual and where God has placed me is part of a way larger kingdom. I've lost sight that everything that I do and don't do influences and involves a kingdom. And Daniel last week spoke of the will of God. And one thing that he said, I can't remember the word, so if you haven't seen it, go look on YouTube. It was really a good teaching. But the word, when God created, he said he created us in his image and his likeness. And that word image, I can't remember what the word is, but it's used also for idols throughout the word in original Greek. So the word idols and image that they used there is the same word. And he said, when we think of idols, at times we think of it wrong, because how it truly was is that people didn't worship necessarily the wooden idol. That wooden idol represented the god that they were worshiping. So King Zeus or whatever these gods in Roman, it was a statue of King Zeus, but they weren't worshiping the statue necessarily. It was an image of the god that they were worshiping. And here God is saying, I've created you in my image and my likeness. And so God chose us as people to be that image, so that when people see, they see the true God. And when you look at any empire, any kingdom, any city, according to this definition, one man ruling and reigning, when that empire, city, one wins battles, is thriving and doing well, what does the people say? Wow, it's an incredible king. It's an incredible king. But here I am, stepped into the kingdom, acknowledging the king, loving him, seeing him as sovereign, and slowly and subtly being influenced by the patterns of this world and the way that I think I've set up my own little kingdom within a kingdom. And what have I done? I've stained the image of God. I've stained this. I've created you in my image, in my likeness. And so when people look at a business, a family that is more concerned about its pocket or its safe haven rather than the larger picture of kingdom and how can I function within kingdom, whether it is in my business, whether it's at the school, whether it's at a church, however it may be, how do I function that it serves a kingdom? And that has been the reality for me. And my wife and my children have definitely felt that burden of a king that has started ruling rather than being a subject, a citizen, life completely subject to a king. Where everything I do or don't do is, king, is this what would work in your kingdom? Can I do it like this? And we see David was an incredible example in his beginning life as a king. It was an incredible example in every single battle. Basically, he consulted his God, his king. And just out of interest sake, God, the word God in many other languages is the same word as king. And David would consult his God and say, how do I do this? What do I see? How do I operate? And God gave him, the king gave him instructions of how to battle, of how to move forward, of how to go against that army. We see that with Moses also. We see that with a bunch of characters throughout the word, that they were completely subject to the king, understanding true kingdom, understanding true sovereignty, and understanding a king that truly rules. And they lived a life accordingly. And through them, we see a beautiful king. We see, wow, it's beautiful. It's good. And I just want to read the scripture. It's in Romans 12. And we might know it quite well. But I've been challenged with this personally. Romans 12. Where are you? There you are. Living sacrifices. Therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Do not conform any longer to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good and pleasing will. Now, often I don't understand God's good and pleasing will because I don't understand true kingdom, because I don't know how to be subject, or I don't know how to be fully submitted to the King. I know that He's good. I've read throughout. I've experienced Him. But to be fully submissive, to be fully subject to a King, I don't get that because I haven't been brought up that way. My framework doesn't show that. My framework shows just, you know, test the waters, check it out, make sure. Set up your own setup. Acknowledge that He's good, but I'm ruling. And this King that we have, just like the definition of every kingdom, the law or the way that the city or the kingdom works is according to the King's desire and will. And last week, Daniel talked about the will of God, and basically it came up to that, is that he would be known, and that we would know him, and that he would be known. And I love history. I really enjoy history. And if I looked at every single king, and if I look at all these movies like Braveheart and all these things, you know, I've seen many and read about many kings and leaders and leadership within this world. But I haven't seen a king like I've seen in this word. It's very different. It's completely different. He's a king that's only desire is the people within the kingdom. His will is so intertwined with His people being with Him. So everything in His will is kind of worked around that He can be with us, Emmanuel. And ingeniously enough, knows that His people is going to struggle, and He's given an incredible helper in the midst of this and done everything possible so that we as His subjects or His citizens could also have this close, intimate relationship with the King. I've seen no king like that before, that he could have this beautiful, knows every citizen within his city, kingdom, and walk with him and show his heart and reveal himself to him. This is a different kind of king. And it's very pretty. And there is this, so I guess in a nutshell, the kingdom, we want to talk about the kingdom of God. And for me personally, I'm going through this beautiful study of these kingdoms. And one might think, okay, this king, he's reigning, and in his kingdom, he's ruling, reigning and ruling. But why does everything look like it looks out here? It's broken, it's demagogue, everything is falling apart, it looks like. What kind of king is ruling and reigning? And it looks like this. But there is other kingdoms. We need to understand that. There is a kingdom of Satan. There is these other kingdoms and these other factors that play a role. But I think for me personally, and what I want to try just put on the table, is some sort of framework of how do we see kingdom. When we use the word kingdom and we read the word kingdom in the Bible, are we seeing it as this true framework, the definition of kingdom? Or are somehow we bringing in our way of thinking, what we've been brought up with, into this kingdom and possibly living accordingly? And if I look at the church worldwide, I'm afraid to say that I think it plays a big role. One of the greatest questions throughout the worldwide church at the moment, and it's one of them, there's many things that people within churches are asking, but one of them, and it's a fact, so it's not an idea, but one of them is, should I stay in this church or should I go? And my answer would be is, ask the King. He knows. But most people's answers or reasoning is, I don't really like that, and looking up the pros and cons, and the worship is not really how I enjoy it, and you've got all these debates on how I choose where I am, instead of just simply asking the King, King, is this is where you want me? I will be here. And as I am here, King, please help me to serve, to function, to operate with this burden that you have given, with these commands, with these ways, so that I'm seeing there's a larger picture. But we forget, because sometimes we've got this pocket, and I understand it. We've been brought up that way because this world is a circus. So we need to kind of create this safe place for our families, this. But the kingdom doesn't look like that. The kingdom of God looks different. And a few things that I know about kingdom of God is that it's a spiritual kingdom. So the things that we do physically influences what we don't see, and the things that we don't see influences what we do. There's a spiritual kingdom, and we need to know that. It's also a kingdom that we're not going to understand everything all the time, and that circumstances is going to press and sometimes be tough. But when it is, we've always got two choices in this kingdom: faithful or rebel. You see that throughout the word. You get individuals or subjects or citizens that has truly been faithful within a kingdom. Even if they don't understand, they don't see it, they don't feel it, you are King. I know that you are good. I know that you see this, and we see it. If you look at the book of Revelations, we see a king that is ruling and reigning. We see that. It's there. We don't need to doubt it. And then you see citizens and subjects that in a kingdom, they rebel. No, but I don't think that's wise. I don't know if God would allow that, or who is this king anyways? How can he allow the circumstance to happen? And in our hearts, we can slowly become rebellious because we don't understand and because we don't like circumstances. And so this king knew that, and he revealed himself to us over and over and over and over, from cover to cover, in personal relationships, in marriages, in family, in friends, in testimonies. Over and over, this king reveals himself. And he says, this is who I am. And so we've got a king that is completely aware of all of our little struggles and all of our little battles, but completely aware of his kingdom. And sees us in our little pockets and thinks, "I step out of it. There is a bigger picture. And please keep in mind that you are my citizen. You're my subject. I know that you need this. And you are more important than the flowers of the field. I know all that. But there is a bigger kingdom. There is a bigger picture. And how do I, as a subject, Brett, for you and my family, with what we have in our hands now, whatever it may be, whatever you are doing, how can I function in kingdom? How can this stained image be cleansed? Well, it says it throughout the word. Repent. The kingdom is at hand. Repent. Repentance cleanses us. It cleans us. Why? So that the image of our King can be seen. And so that we can be in a position of walking closely with him, so that the King can show us how we can live. Why? Because when people look from afar and see a kingdom or a city, they will say, yo, that king is amazing. He's a different kind of leader. But now, unfortunately, as a result of a conformed way, we use all the Christian words, we use all the biblical words, we use all this, and we say the king is reigning and the king is sovereign. But the man is ruling. And we have an image that is distorted of our beautiful king. And we don't have life subject to a king the way that it should be, reigning and ruling like we see in nature today, immediately and instantaneously obedient to the king's commands. And I've been challenged by this. The burden that we've been as a family has been a heavy burden, is because this king has been reigning. And this king is trying to be ruling. Oh, and it's disastrous. It's like the King Saul and all the heavy burdens that came with that. If you look at Daniel, I'm not going to read the scripture fully now, but in Daniel 4, this Nebuchadnezzar, if you know his story, he was this king. And he spoke so often about his glory, his kingdom, how he's going to establish this so that he could that, and he could this, and I could this, and all these me, myself, and I realities. And then he had a dream that he would go out, he would be sent into the fields and become like an animal, eating grass where his nails would grow. And it's kind of like a weird picture if you look at Daniel 4. And later he says, Nebuchadnezzar says, I came to my senses. I want to read this one. Let me just read it quickly. I came to my senses. At the end of that time, Nebuchadnezzar raised my eyes towards heaven and my sanity was restored. Then I praised the Most High. I honored and glorified Him who lives forever. His kingdom, His dominion is an eternal dominion. His kingdom endures forever, from generation to generation. All the peoples of the earth are regarded as nothing. He does as he pleases, and the powers of heaven and the peoples of earth, no one can hold back his hand or say to him, what have you done? And then he carries on. At the time that my sanity was restored, everything else fell into place. This has been my reality also. I was like this King Nebuchadnezzar, without even knowing it, simply as being conformed to the patterns of this world. So it's not this deliberate, I'm going to try get all the glory, all the... It's the small, subtle ways of the world that has built a framework, and I've been looking through this framework and bringing it in with me into the kingdom of God, and sometimes living accordingly, and experiencing a heavy burden as a result, and haven't understood truly the scripture of my burden is like light, my yoke, the scripture that we see in Matthew. So how does that work? I don't see that. I don't experience that. And God challenged me with a question. How do you expect me to be sovereign and to reign while you are busy ruling? The truth and the matter, the end of it, is that God is reigning and ruling in His kingdom, and He's invited us to be a part of it. And we see that throughout the Word. We see that there is a finished product. And in the midst of this, we've got a choice of how we're going to be subject or not, like nature, as His citizens, as His subjects. And it's a beautiful, beautiful privilege, because this King is different. He's given us everything that we need to walk with Him. He's shown Himself over and over. You know, I call it faith pillars. In my life, if I have to look back, there's so many things that I could share of who God is and what He's done, simply so that He could reveal Himself to me, so that I wouldn't have to doubt this King. That I could know that this King is incredible, and that I don't have to rule. I don't have to try rule. But I can truly just in humility be subject to walk with and to see kingdom for what it truly is. And so everything that God has done in your life and how He's revealed is like a faith pillar that's holding something up. And that is His kingship. That is His name. That is His reputation that He's doing. And I can either believe, or in the midst of a desert where things are tough, I can rebel. And my heart is that I would be a Joshua in the midst of this. And what he said was an incredible statement. I think it's been made very pretty Christian signs that we put up for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. But he was standing in a multitude of people and obviously witnessing a bunch of people that were still seeing God as sovereign. Can't deny that. They're seeing, they know, but that a people that have chosen to become rulers in their own circumstances. And I think as a warrior, young man, a family, he said, well, listen, yeah, I see all of this, but for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. We will be subjects. We will be like nature. We will be in a position of close relationship, hearing from him any command, instruction, way, immediately, instantaneously. Why? Because I know the King. I've seen him over and over and over and over. I see him through the word. I see this King is different. But I must be honest, I personally, Brett, for you need to repent as a result of my way of thinking and bringing this into the kingdom and then blaming God and being a little bit frustrated and not understanding. But I have put the burden on myself as a result of the King that I have chosen to be instead of a subject to a King where he can fully reign and fully rule in my heart. I remember when I just met the Lord, I saw this picture of my heart was a throne. And I asked him, yeah, please sit on this throne so that you can have your way fully, so that you can fully reign and fully rule and help me to be subject. If you have to create, if you look, just look on social media and churches and set up a healing and any sort of event that serves me, you've got a hit. You've got a lot of people. And I'm not saying it's a bad thing. Hear my heart here. But get people together to learn how to be slaves or subjects of a King. It's not such a popular subject. And please don't get me wrong, God is our healer, he's our provider, he's all these things that he has said. He definitely is. But let us not take him lightly as a King. He is sovereign, and he wants to rule and reign within my heart as he is doing in his kingdom. Because he is. He doesn't need our help, but somehow we are part of his plan. Why? Because what is his will and his desire? Is eternity with him. And so we as his citizens is so fully part of his plan. And it's a beautiful thing. I have I have this little bit of a fresh reminder of, Brett, this is how kingdom works. And this is what you've been seeing. But if you had to ask me again, would I choose kingdom? I would say it depends on the King. Oh, and thank God that we've been given a King to serve. So over the years, I've seen an incredible King that has introduced me to a kingdom. And I really desire to be a subject, a citizen in this kingdom. That submits. And I really just want to pray for us and as we head out, yeah, I guess, again, this is a platform to move from, possibly. But there is another kingdom that we could look into a little bit later and to understand a little bit better. Why is it looking like it's looking? How does this battle work? Who is the battle against? And we know these things, but it's good to remind. It's good to read. It's good to make sure. But from a biblical point of view, and yeah, this King of ours is probably the most humble King that I've ever experienced or read about in my life, who came like he came as an ordinary man and did all the things that he did, the way that he served, the way that he showed, the way that he spoke, everything that he did was just an incredibly humble King. And I really truly want to be subject to this King, because I've been subject to this King for quite some time, and it's been a heavy burden, and it's not like, and it's just not pleasant, eh? Let's close our eyes. Let's pray. Father, you've given us this free will this permission to make choices, to choose, to rebel, to be faithful, to seek, to run. And Lord, I realize that this pattern of this world has really has conformed the way that I think when I see your kingdom. I don't really see it in its fullness, and I don't really understand, Lord, and I ask that you will help us to understand your kingdom and our function within kingdom, our tasks, the commands, the responsibilities within a larger kingdom where you are king, reigning and ruling. I want to be a part of that. And I really ask your help, that you will show us your heart, that you will continue to reveal yourself to us as king, so that we will be sure and know the king that we are following is trustworthy and faithful. That we will know his will and desire, and that we'll have no doubt in our heart that it's true and it's good. I pray against any doubt that we might have of a good king, and that we'll serve accordingly, Lord. Now, please share your heart with us this week. Reveal your will and your desires to us, Lord Jesus, and where possibly we have conformed to the patterns of this world and our way of thinking, leadership structures, the thought patterns that we have, I pray that it will be renewed so that we will be able to determine and know your good and pleasing will as king. Help us to be subjects, Lord, in your kingdom, and help us to also know that there is other kingdoms that is waging war and battling. But thank you for your word and the finished work of the cross, that we know that it's done and that we could walk with you in this. And while we are in this period of walking in this demagogue broken world, I pray that we will not be rebellious in a kingdom that you've invited us into, but that we will serve faithfully, whether we understand or don't understand, whether we see the promised land or not. Help us to serve faithfully, not only seeing you as sovereign, not only see you as reigning, but seeing you as ruler. I pray that you will sit on the thrones of our heart and that we will climb off as rulers, that we will come to you constantly as a king and ask you in every single day, our life, what are you thinking? How should we do it, King? What do you see here? I pray that we'll have this constant conversation with an intimate King, where we will be led and guided by your Spirit. Thank you for your Spirit, Lord. Thank you that you're not only a King that has created and let this universe run itself, but that you really, truly want to reign and you want to rule. There's not a bunch of principles and things that are set in place so that we have to figure it out and do it all alone. Thank you that you've put that there for guidelines, but you still want to reign and you still want to rule every day. You still want to guide on a personal level. You still want to show us your heart, and you still want your kingdom to come here on earth as it is in heaven. So help us in the midst of this process as citizens, as subjects, Lord, to walk with you as a king and to constantly see our position, our role, where we're at within a bigger picture, within a bigger purpose. We really need that help, Lord, because every single little fiber of this world is going against that. This world is demanding a self-centered, safe pocket. You, yourself, and I, Lord, and I really pray against that in Jesus' name, that we as the church, as your people, your body, will understand what it is to function within a larger kingdom. So help us to constantly come to you, Holy Spirit. We need that guidance that we'll ask, King, what do you think? What should I do? And then respond full-heartedly and take responsibility up and work hard and manage, yes, but to consult you first as King. Help us in that, Lord. We ask it in your name. Amen.